Welcome to the Crypto Arcade, everybody. My name is Eldar Basic, and I am joined by my illustrious co-host, Dan Wiseman. Dan, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
I am doing just fine, and I hope everybody is doing absolutely awesome as well.
I hope they are. Today, we are officially, we're happy because we're announcing episode one of the Crypto Arcade podcast. And, you know, just for a little bit of inside baseball, we have recorded this first episode two times before. So we got our training wheels off the ground and we're ready to record episode one. The Crypto Arcade is essentially just a roundup of everything happening in the Polygon, NFT, crypto, and metaverse gaming sphere. And each episode is going to be about 30 minutes, hopefully dropping sometime in the middle of the week, either Tuesday or Wednesday. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you tell all of your NFT and crypto enthusiast friends. So Dan, let's go ahead and give people the profile on who we are. I don't want to go first on this. I don't really have a good reason for not going first. Do you want to kick us off and kind of just let everyone, you know, that's listening know who you are, where you've come from, what sort of stuff you're into, like, you know, as far as like Polygon Studios goes?
Sure. So I actually lead the content strategy at both Polygon Studios and also a couple of the other initiatives that Polygon Studios is also going on and producing itself. So yeah, I basically have a hand in many different pots here with Polygon, with Polygon Studios. So yeah, I basically help to strategize and execute the strategies for everything that you see on our social media pages, on our blogs, maybe even like on our YouTube pages and, you know, streaming and also this podcast here. So yeah, I definitely like to flex my creative muscles and help promote the world of play-to-earn games and NFTs.
I just want to let everyone know that Dan here has also worked in esports and has also been a game developer professionally as well. So
yep, that's true. Yeah,
you've got some chops, dude.
Yeah, I did work on a couple of games when I was younger. I dabbled with Unity development, and then I also did work a little bit in esports. So yeah, it's been quite a ride.
Yeah, man, you've had a hell of a career so far. I don't really like talking about myself as much, you know, but I will say this: I come from a game development background. I started my game development career at Gearbox in Frisco, working on Borderlands 3, and then I worked at a mobile game studio in Texas called PeopleFun, and we developed a game called Wordscapes. And Wordscapes is a puzzle game that, you know, everyone over the age of 30 has probably played to like keep their brain sharp. And it was really cool. I was there for a few years and now I'm at Polygon Studios. I work as a producer here at Polygon Studios, where I help with, maintaining the, helping out with, you know, some content like this podcast. And, I also host AMAs and talk to, you know, fledgling up and coming projects, that are built on the, Polygon blockchain. I like video games a lot. I've been playing video games since I was 5, and I like anime and manga and Dragon Ball a lot. So that's pretty much Dragon Ball in a nutshell. Oh man, I wish
Dragon Ball, man.
I wish there was a video. I just have like, I don't know, 30 Dragon Ball figures surrounding me right now.
For real? Oh wow.
Oh, man, I love Dragon Ball. I love it. I've loved it. I'm a big fan of GT. I don't know if anybody else is, but I love GT. I have a special spot, but Super is just where it's at. Anyway, we could talk about that forever. So thank you for your intro. I wanted to go ahead and get kind of started on our updates. So the first thing that I wanted to talk about, it's a little thing called IndieGG that you've had your hand in the pot of for the better part of a month or two now. Do you want to go ahead and give people the spiel on what IndieGG is and where IndieGG is at as far as their pre-launch goes?
Sure. So pretty much as I mentioned prior in my introduction, I basically work with a couple of other Polygon initiatives other than studios. So one of them is actually IndieGG. So this was perhaps the most exciting part of the news for the end of the year as we went through December of 2021. But basically, in collaboration with YGG, Polygon Studios launched its own gaming guild, and the gaming guild is known as IndieGG. So what is IndieGG exactly? IndieGG is pretty much an Indian gaming guild where we're looking to really help spread and promote the ideas and teachings of play-to-earn games, and predominantly to explain to Indian gaming communities why it's really great and beneficial to get involved, especially early, into these play-to-earn games. And that even if you cannot afford some of these NFTs, we're there to really help you get, you know, a scholarship or get involved somehow into these games so that you can start earning crypto. You can start establishing a new revenue stream if you can, and you can start making money by playing these games. So that's essentially what IndieGG is. And we've really just started. It was really just the pre-launch that we had a few weeks ago. We have a lot of really awesome things coming up. It's going to be the launch is going to be, the official launch is going to be coming soon. So, you know, there'll be more news on that. So that's what I really just wanted to say about IndieGG. So stay tuned to it. You can check out at YGG India on Twitter to follow us and, you know, get the latest updates. IndieGG is in fact a subDAO of YGG, so that's why it's also known as YGG India as well.
Perfect. I think that anything that makes blockchain gaming more accessible to people all over the world is, you know, that's just a really good initiative, and I'm excited to see what you guys do over at IndieGG. For everyone, the summary basically is Dan's the IndieGG guy, so anything that we talk about involving IndieGG, Dan's pretty much the Polygon Studios project lead at that point, so really excited about that. Next thing, it's 2022. Dan, did you have a good New Year's? By the way, I don't think I've asked you that yet.
Yeah, I had quite a fun New Year's. You know, mostly just kind of it was a little bit more quieter than,
chill, right?
than usual. Like, you know, back in the past that I used to have, you know, like New Year's is back then. But yeah, this one here was more tamer. but yeah, I mean, New Year and you know, definitely new things for Polygon Studios as well. One thing that I wanted to also mention is that we did change our logo. We did change the logo for the new year. It's you know, a little bit more of a subtle change, I like to say, but we actually changed the text a little bit, more lowercase text now for Polygon Studios. So if you notice that, like on our banner with the logo, yeah, it's been updated, and we'd like to thank our graphic designer Alba for making the change, and yeah, and really just, you know, changing things up a little bit for the new year.
I think it looks good. Essentially, we just kind of flipped the case of Polygon Studios from lowercase to uppercase and added a slight visual flair to the font. And I think it's sleek. 2021, the reason I bring up the new year is because our first episode of the Crypto Arcade is in 2022, but the studio itself launched in Q3 of last year. You know, I think it would be a good use of everyone's time if we kind of just talk about everything that happened, you know, in the second half of the year, because Polygon Studios wasn't a thing at the start of 2021, and now it is, and a lot has happened. A lot has happened not only on the Polygon blockchain, but I mean, we've formed over, I think, I mean, we've formed hundreds of partnerships on the Polygon Studio side of things. We've seen gigantic partnerships with Macy's and Burger King, and, you know, Polygon even, you know, teamed up with Ticketmaster and the NFL, and it you know, I'm throwing all these names out there because it's crazy how much has happened in a year. I mean, like, I know that you and Alba, again, everyone for who doesn't know, Alba is our graphic designer. It'd be great to have her on an episode, you know, going forward. That'd be awesome. But that's who we're talking about. Is she's our internal graphic designer, and she makes great stuff. But Polygon had a huge year. I mean, we had over 750,000 total wallets, holding over 10,000 different collections on Polygon, 2.5 billion in NFT trading volume, and 12, or actually, I stand corrected, 15 billion total assets minted on the Polygon blockchain with over 80 games. It was awesome. And then there were events like NFT NYC, which I'll let you talk about because you were actually there before I even joined up at the studio. And then there was Art Basel. And man, you know, it was just, it's a fast-paced studio, and I love it for that.
Yeah, sure. So with NFT NYC, it was basically an event that was perhaps like the biggest NFT event that's been actually happening for a few years now. But this year was really bigger, was much bigger than any other previous year, actually. So NFT NYC happened just like early, just like late last year. It happened back in November, and Polygon was one of like the main, was one of like the biggest names there. We actually hosted quite a few different events. We have hosted multiple after parties, and some of our own team members even gave some panel discussions. And it was, it was really successful. And I know that I attended it myself. I was actually helping to talk with some, people on the floor. I was out there greeting people, and some of the other team members were joining me as well. And we were, just getting a lot of compliments from a lot of different people. We were hearing from people that were interested in building on Polygon. We were hearing from major companies. We were hearing from people that just were developers and just had a couple of questions. And yeah, there was a lot of interest just generated around Polygon at that time. So I would say that NFT NYC was a huge success for Polygon, especially that we hosted and co-hosted some events with some of our partners at like Parallel, and also with OpenSea, and like a bunch of other partners as well that we, were able to co-host, and just have these really region parties that they were really awesome. And another event too that some of our team members also attended this year was Art Basel. I actually didn't go to this one here, but I heard that it was also pretty good for Polygon, that there was a lot of people that were also interested, in some of our team members also gave some talks there as well. So NFT NYC definitely was great. It was really, really fun to see the interest around Polygon there. And I would say that next year hopefully it's going to be even bigger.
And hopefully I can go next year, but
hopefully, yes.
That would be a blast. I can't wait. And hopefully the COVID situation, hopefully there's not too many more variants that pop up. So hopefully I can go. That'd be great. But 20, besides like the events, I want to just dabble into some of the games that came out on Polygon. It's also kind of interesting. This is kind of a tangent, but it's kind of interesting seeing it calling Polygon, like games coming out on Polygon, like it's a game console. But I mean, Polygon has seen, the Vulkan Forged ecosystem come out and integrate with Matic. We've seen My Crypto Heroes, which we'll talk about later in the episode too. My Crypto Heroes integrated with Polygon, Ivagochi. We saw Doki Doki and Sandbox begin testing on Polygon. I don't think Sandbox is a Polygon project, but a lot of the metaverse projects that are in Sandbox are on Polygon, like Atari and stuff like that. So like we've seen that happen. And I think Sandbox picked Polygon as a scaling solution. So there we go. Ember Sword came out on Polygon as well. And I mean, it was just crazy. Like, I know whenever I first started, I think the big news of the day was Neon District launching on Polygon. And yeah, it's been kind of like a crazy, crazy, like fast paced year for Polygon Studios. I know that you and I got into the Mouseheads. Macy's was awesome, and then the Marvel NFT projects. It's just been kind of crazy. And I know that we've only been around for 5 or 6 months, but the stuff that's going to happen in 2022 is going to it's just going to overshadow every accomplishment that we've made in 2021 by a lot. And I'm excited for that. Looking forward, what are you excited for when it comes to Polygon Studios? What incentives, initiatives, stuff like NDGG are you mostly looking forward to?
Well, it's actually kind of interesting. If I could just also mention one other thing here, that if you look at an article that I actually published for on the Polygon Studios Medium right before we went into the new year, which was the complete wrap up of the 2021 year, if you actually go down and see like the list of events that just happened, because we basically had like a complete list of just all the major events that occurred with Polygon and Polygon Studios, as you get down to like quarter three and quarter four, you just start to see this huge explosion, especially in quarter four too. You just see all these bigger brands and just all these events and just everything just becoming so much more busier just at once too. So it was really, you know, you could really see the progression there throughout time in the year of just how much Polygon is really, you know, growing. And going into the next year, I think that what's going to really reign supreme is blockchain and crypto, NFT gaming, essentially. I think that this year is going to be the year for, you know, NFT gaming. I think that that's what's going to take off. And I think like the reason why is this. Last year, you know, NFTs started to explode because of, you know, CryptoPunks, of Bored Ape Yacht Club. And then people started to see that these, you know, JPEGs, essentially just JPEGs, were selling. And then you had all these different, you know, all these different artists creating NFTs. But like, what was the utility for these NFTs? And even till this day, you might question, like, what's the utility? So, you know, with CryptoPunks, with Bored Ape Yacht Club, it was the community. The community of those two are, you know, massive. And that was what really gave it its worth. So if you own a Bored Ape, if you own a CryptoPunk, it's really that – it's just like kind of a flex. It's just showing that you are a part of that community. It's a flex, really. But there's also other benefits too, because maybe if you were somebody that got in early with CryptoPunks, with Bored Apes, then you also have access to the communities of these people that are buying these that are buying these NFTs. So, you know, like Eminem just bought a Bored Ape. Serena Williams bought a CryptoPunk. Then that basically
Dave
means
Chappelle
it's like,
Dave
Chappelle has one too. Like, basically, it's like a fraternity. Like, you know, like if you're in a fraternity, that was also a fraternity for like, I don't know, like JFK or, you know, like some of these other, you know, famous politicians or, you know, celebrities, then it's almost like being involved in like their family, that you have a connection to them almost. And in a way here, it's kind of similar to that, but you only have 10,000 of these things. You only have 10,000 of these NFTs. So it's even more limited than like a fraternity. A fraternity can keep growing, but this one here, it's always limited to only 10,000 members. So that was the worth of these JPEG projects back last year. But now you have so many derivatives coming out. You have so many of these projects, and now it's starting to lose its value. Where exactly is the utility? And I think people have really found out that the utility really lies within gaming. It works really well with gaming. And the reason why is because you can own a digital asset in that virtual world. So like, you know, it's, you know, also kind of going into the metaverse and metaverse platforms too, like Sandbox, where it's like a combination of like social media, economics, and then also gaming, like all bunched in together. And then even just games that are just supposed to be games. So I think that that's where this utility is really found, is that you can own land in a video game. You can, you know, rent it out to people. You can have like, and actually own your avatar. You don't have to use the avatar in that game. You can take it over to OpenSea. You can sell it on OpenSea. You can sell that avatar, or maybe even use it in other games that want to allow you to do that. You know, it's just very flexible, and that's what people I think really need to understand about where this utility is coming from. But that is why blockchain gaming is going to be, I would say, the next big thing here. And that's why Polygon Studios was created, to cover this revolution, to cover everything here that's happening. And I think that is where this is going to, like, you know, like where we're just going to see a lot more success.
We're one of those unique studios that is just at the forefront of all of these changes, all of these new technologies like the metaverse and blockchain gaming as a novel concept. We'll talk about it later in the episode, but, you know, you're starting to see a lot of migration from a lot of interest, at least. In migrating from Web 2 to Web 3. And dude, you said it perfectly. And you didn't even touch on like play to earn. Like that just goes to show like how much like positive change Web 3 is bringing.
Right. I mean, there's so much. This is just the beginning of this too. It's literally like you have to get into this whole concept now of play to earn and gaming guilds, which, you know, with IndieGG, we would be covering a lot more of that too, because play to earn and gaming guilds have just provided opportunities to people in all these different nations with all different sorts of economic levels. And, you know, if you're renting out NFTs, if you're playing with, you know, NFTs to earn crypto, you know, it really has provided people with like a whole new source of like a whole new economy to take advantage of. So yeah, like that's definitely where I really do see this play to earn revolution and like, you know, this NFT, you know, gaming, you know, revolution go to. I mean, this, you know, it's not just even going to be with gaming either, but like, you know, the metaverse and Web3, it's like a combination of a lot of different things. But, you know, in my opinion, I really think that the next phase for NFTs is going to be music. But I think that this gaming cycle is going to explode right now this year. And then my prediction is that it's going to slow down eventually, but it's always going to be around. Like, it's always going to be going up and down and up and down. But you know, you're seeing now with these profile picture projects that they normally need to include some form of utility. There needs to be some sort of form of utility, you know, included. Otherwise, you know, it's just really like a JPEG that gives you access to a community that might be, you know, really useful or might not be. So, you know, it really does depend.
Yes. I want to touch on what you just you dabbled on it just a hair there. But when it comes to music NFTs, I want to give you guys a little bit of alpha right now. There is a gentleman who goes by the name of Michael Darlington, or Mike Darlington, and he's the CEO and founder of Monster Cat. Monster Cat is an independent label out of Canada that's been operating since, and I don't know if the number's correct, but 2011, maybe 2010. And I've been a fan of theirs for a long time. And they are partnered with Songrise and a few other very, very cryptic NFT projects that are revolving around music. And I think that NFTs, audio music NFTs, will undo a lot of the damage caused by Metallica's drummer, Lars Ulrich, back in the 90s with Napster. Or was that early 2000s? Not 100% sure. I think it might have been the early 2000s. And so I'm personally very excited for that. But I would recommend following Mike Darlington and Monster Cat as a whole, because they are probably going to be at the forefront of indie NFT music content creation. And I think that's really exciting as a former music producer. Very excited about that. Dan, do we want to touch on the UNXD Decentraland fashion show announcement for like a minute? Because I don't know too much about it. That's kind of your thing.
Yeah, so something else to that, that NFTs have really also brought forward is this whole age of digital fashion. And some of these projects with NFTs that also link to more or less like avatar outfits or some sort of like fashion. Maybe it could be like, you know, avatar skins or avatar shoes or, you know, something for like a, you know, an outfit. Some of them are also linked to actual like real world items that you can redeem for real world items, actually. So it's, you know, it's something that, you know, people might, you know, question at first, but like, you know, how exactly does this work? Like for, you know, like for real world projects. Well, you know, Nike has launched a metaverse. I think Adidas actually launched their own NFT. So this, you know, this has actually been something that other fashion companies or clothing line companies have actually started to dabble into. So one company known as UNXD is actually going to be partnering up with Decentraland to host the fashion show. So UNXD is basically the creators of fashion NFTs, and they're going to be working with Decentraland to basically host a fashion show. And this has been something that I've actually been seeing lately with fashion shows and fashion shows popping up in these different metaverses. They basically showcase the NFTs creations, like the designs that these 3D artists have put in, and then also potentially tie it back into real world products that you can actually purchase yourself. So, this is you know, something that's going to be coming up. They actually also partnered with Polygon, both Decentraland and also UNXD. So, yeah, I want to give them a little quick shout out here for their fashion show coming up. I believe it's in February. So yeah, definitely check it out.
Cool. So right around the corner. Very cool. Yes. Yeah. I like the concept of a digital fashion show, especially some that are paying homage to NFT artists, like directly on the content. That's really cool. I want to go ahead and shout out three projects, maybe four, maybe three. One is Polygon Alliance. You guys might know that there is a project called Castle NFT So I guess this is a double shout out. But the people behind Castle NFT, a art-based, art puzzle-based picture project, painting picture project, done completely on Stencil and built on Polygon, is behind the team over at Polygon Alliance. Polygon Alliance, this might be a little more alpha as well, but PolygonAlliance.com and Polygon Alliance on Twitter is a collection of emerging NFT and metaverse projects built on Polygon. It's very similar to AwesomePolygon.com. Some people listening to this that are fans of Polygon know that AwesomePolygon, I've said a Polygon a lot, AwesomePolygon.com is a collection of all of our, you know, dApps and all of our games. Polygon Alliance is a similar thing, but it, you know, it's more for collaboration and the people behind those dApps coming together and building a network. The other two projects I wanted to mention before we get into my crypto heroes is Panda Dynasty and Mechaverse. Mechaverse is a little bit early in the pipe, but just you know, keep the name in the back of your head. It's a project coming out on Polygon. Panda Dynasty is a collection of NFTs that are, and I'm seeing this happen a lot. It's a collection of NFTs that are primarily puzzle based. So by interacting with the project itself and joining the community, you get incentives and the ability to participate solving puzzles and playing metagames for prizes inside the community. So it's Panda Dynasty, and check them out on Twitter. Dan, I'd like to talk about my crypto heroes. My crypto heroes, and I'll pass it off to you, but just for a little bit of background, it's a game that is they're partnered up with Double Jump, and Double Jump is partnered up with Polygon Studios. We love working with them a lot. They have some cool things coming down the pipe. Have you played My Crypto Heroes, and what do you know about the project?
So actually, I have not played My Crypto Heroes, but I do know that they are pretty popular within the space of crypto, you know, games. And like, I have actually been, actually known about them for quite some time now. So with My Crypto Heroes, they've officially announced that they will be implementing the Polygon blockchain. So they will be joining the Polygon ecosystem. And what this means is that basically, originally they were, I think, predominantly on ETH or predominantly like on the Ethereum ecosystem. And what they're doing right now is that they're adding Polygon to this mix. So this, you know, allows for cheaper transactions, faster transactions to come through, you know, all those delightful things that you have with the Polygon blockchain. And along with this, they're also going to be doing a little bit of a promotion. So the promotion that they're going to be doing is dropping a whole new NFT. So this new update that they're going to be pushing out is called My Crypto Hero Soul. And this is also going to be providing a new NFT that new players can take advantage of. So when you join, if you're a newcomer, you can get your feet wet with this, with the game, and you can basically pick up this, this NFT along the way, so you can get your start. It's free, and you can, you know, start the game off and get acclimated with My Crypto Heroes. If you're a big fan of JRPGs, like little mobile games, I believe this game's on mobile. But yeah, if you're a big fan of those types of games, then you'll definitely like the artwork and you'll definitely like the gameplay. It's, I believe, turn by turn battle. So yeah, if you're a fan of those, then yeah, give this a go. Yeah.
For very well said. Thank you. For those that are particularly fans of Final Fantasy Tactics, War of the Lions, and the artwork and gameplay style of that game, I think you should definitely check out My Crypto Heroes. All right. So we are coming near the end of the show. We do have three more topics to talk about. Just super quick, we're going to touch on them. This is part of the industry talk segment of the show. Industry talk is, you know, at the end is reserved for talking about all things Web 2 to Web 3, just sort of like big happenings from brands that you probably know that are in some way affiliated with NFTs, you know, Web 3, crypto, metaverse, blockchain, et cetera, et cetera. First thing I want to talk about, Konami's NFT drop. Dan, I'm not sure if you're a fan of the Castlevania games.
I played them. Nice. Definitely have to say they are classics and they are definitely very cool. Yeah, how does this tie in exactly?
The Castlevania NFT drop. It's a collection of 14 NFTs that are currently being auctioned off right now on OpenSea. There's been some backlash to them, but either way, I think they're pretty cool. It's sort of these highlights and these visuals that are kind of boxed in like a really creative way that I think, I don't know what the floor is right now, but I think it's maybe 0.07 ETH. So
0.07 ETH. All right.
Yeah.
Could be a good entry.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's not too bad. The next thing I want to talk about really quickly is the Square Enix NFT, sort of like promise to do NFTs. Are you a fan of Square Enix games, Dan?
Of course, yeah. Final Fantasy, cool. You know, definitely on the top of my list.
Yes, and I just recently played through Dragon Quest. I love the idea that Square Enix is, I think, the second major AAA studio to enter the NFT promise realm, I suppose, besides Ubisoft. Ubisoft has actually done it with Quartz, built on Tezos. But Square Enix is basically announcing they're, you know, interested in blockchain gaming, play to earn. And I think they said something about metaverse. Where do you stand on Web2 companies from AAA gaming, like, you know, EA, Capcom, Square Enix? Where do you stand on them moving their platform more to Web3 content?
So I think it's definitely what was definitely risky of them to jump into this. And as you kind of know how the backlash has been with a lot of these AAA companies, it hasn't been too good with the reception. But the thing is this, I honestly do think that what they are doing is, you know, in the right direction. It's a step in the right direction. And, you know, like, for example, you mentioned how Ubisoft was, you know, they created Quartz on Tezos. Well, Tezos is, you know, an Ethereum alternative that is trying to be more eco-friendly, I believe. And they are trying to really, you know, promote the play-to-earn sort of atmosphere here with, you know, NFTs. And, you know, although they are kind of doing it in their own, you know, way, which is, you know, a big, more corporate way, and people are hearing about these big companies entering the play-to-earn space, and some like it, some don't. I think that what they're doing is, you know, helping to perpetuate the whole NFT gaming narrative. And, you know, who knows, maybe you can play some of like your classic games, your favorite games, and actually own NFTs in them. I have to say, with, you know, with Square Enix and with Ubisoft, and also now with Konami, you know, like they do get a lot of backlash. But hey, like, how was it in the beginning for crypto? A lot of crypto got a lot of backlash too. You know, it was the same thing. But yeah, I mean, I definitely would love to see a world like where I could maybe play, you know, Final Fantasy, and like, you know, I could take my cloud avatar and like sell it on OpenSea, or, you know, take it to another, you know, marketplace and sell it on there. You know, it's definitely really, you know, like really cool to see this, because it gets you excited for what new major IPs are going to jump in.
Absolutely. I'm particularly really excited to see some of my franchises that I particularly fell in love with for the last 20 years make the transition over to Web3 gaming. I think that's going to be really cool. And I'm glad that we shared the same excitement. I know that we've both been gamers for a while, and I think that it's really cool that early on in our careers, we get to be a part of this and watch it grow. I think it's really exciting. So we're at the end of our first episode. I just wanted to go ahead and thank you, Dan, for your time. I think that we got a lot covered. There was a few things that we didn't get covered, but we'll talk about that next episode. I had a lot of fun. I hope you guys had a lot of fun listening. Dan, since you're our content creator, specialist, guru, magician, wizard, tell everybody where they can find Polygon Studios online.
Yeah, sure. So, of course, I need to name drop a little handle to you guys. So if you guys want to follow Polygon Studios, you can follow us on Twitter at _PolygonStudios. That's _PolygonStudios. So be sure to check us out on Twitter. You can find a link to our Discord community right there in the bio. So be sure to check out our community, follow us on Twitter for the latest updates, and we will see you again real soon.
Bye, everybody.